on that.
Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
All right, we are what, 20, no, just under 20 hours. So we're 19 hours and 18 minutes away from the stroke of midnight that will ring in the new year, 2021, which we all hope is going to bring much better plight for all of us than 2020 has been. I suspect the first half of the new year is still going to be rough for many of us, but hopefully the second half is going to start being a little bit lighter and a little bit more prospective for many of us. I love social gatherings. I love meeting people. I love giving people a hug, and I love being able to touch my loved ones, particularly around this time. So this has been a difficult time for me, not being able to do that. 28,000 people have lost their loved ones to COVID-19 this year. So this is going to be the first and probably a year of firsts. First birthday, first Christmas, first New Year's, first Easter, first Mother's Day, first Father's Day without somebody they love. All of this will be, I suppose, testing the mettle of all South Africans as they come to terms with what is now absolutely the new normal. Joining me on the line is Dr. Kosi Giane, clinical psychologist. Of course, you listen to her on Weekend Breakfast on 702. Kosi, thank you very much for waking up so early on a Thursday morning. Good morning.
good morning, Africa. Thankfully, I'm a morning person, so that's not too much effort at all.
Fantastic, fantastic. My word, 2020 has been a year of just unexpected.
2020, as you said.
No, it's too much. There's a new normal now, Kosi. I think people are getting accustomed to the fact that they are required to be wearing masks. They are required to be socially distancing. They are required to be sanitizing. They should be staying away from overcrowded places. And yet, for some reason, we are becoming a little bit relaxed, which is why we're reporting 17,000 new cases of COVID-19 as reported in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we are in quite a difficult time. And I think it is not an overstatement to say we are thrown, because as much as we're saying, yes, it is the new norm, it is still an abnormality from how we have understood ourselves across time. You know, you've just said about yourself, you know, to be human is to be social. And an important part of that is connection and belonging. That's what defines us as social human beings. And this requirement for us to physically distance from each other is not a natural way of being. So at one point, I think, you know, we've forced ourselves to knuckle down and be compliant. And I think the understanding was that, you know, this is a passing thing. So if we just do this, if we just get through this part, and then we can resume our lives as usual, go back to life as we have known it. And what this says is maybe not, you know. As you say, you know, we've let our guards down because we have reverted to our social ways of being with each other, and it's coming at a price, right? So there is a thrownness in us in terms of fully integrating this as a new reality. So there's a tug of war that's going on. So, you know, I mean, I was looking yesterday at two videos of people that have been arrested for not wearing masks and so on. So it's still a difficult thing to integrate as a new way of being.
There are many of us, Kosi, who just cannot function without human touch, without another person around us. They might be susceptible to bouts of depression, for example, if they're not surrounded by a support network that they rely on. Some of us are lucky enough to be able to open a book and be completely content with that. You know, switch on Netflix and Showmax and DSTV and SABC and ETV and be happy to consume hours and hours of television without necessarily seeing another person. But let's spend some time on those South Africans who yearn, who desperately need human interaction and are not able to access it. What tools, if any, could you impart on them to navigate what then is now the new normal for 2021?
Sure. I guess, you know, our mind field is the most important thing that we own as human beings, right? So, and part of that is to recognize that we are capable of re-engineering our thoughts, because they are formative. So our thoughts will lead us to certain feelings, right? So to recognize that, you know, we're not just victims of life. Yes, there is that inclination that we are sociable, some more than others, you know, but to say the circumstance has changed. Everything needs to happen in context. And yesterday I was reading a statement that just says, if you just survive this year, it's good enough, right? So we're saying we are thrown into a different way of being. And so let us take that into account and not minimize the time that we're finding ourselves in. And therefore, it becomes so much more important to check the conversations we have with ourselves about ourselves and make sure that that conversation is a conversation that keeps us grounded rather than one that allows us to fall apart. And easier said than done, because, of course, what this means is that this time, in fact, is going to meet us where we are. In other words, it's a generalized experience that everybody, the whole of humanity, is going through. However, how we experience it and its impact has everything to do with the pre-existing self, right? The fault lines. So people that will have previously been susceptible to bouts of depression and sense of isolation and so on, it will be, you know, those fault lines and cleavages will be accentuated through in this time. And that is why it is so much more important to guard over what happens in your mind field, right? And it is to say, okay, can I make peace with this time being what it is, which is different from how it has always been? Can you come to the present? Because part of what becomes a struggle is that we're fighting the reality. So if we come to terms with it and say, phew, what a bummer, you know, call it whatever, but it is what it is. If we come to that place of it is what it is, then we can make peace with it and embrace it, right? And say, it is what it is, so what do I do? So to then be able to distinguish for yourself, what is it that I can do about it? What things do I have control over? And then take care of those things. Do those things. Even if it's 5% of things that you have control over, take 100% control over them. Because what that does is that it gives you a sense of agency as a human being. And we don't just see ourselves as just helpless victims to situations. So it is about, it calls on us so much more now to cultivate that our own sense of agency amidst the chaos and helplessness in a lot of ways and things that are outside of our control.
Is it important in reflecting on those questions to be mindful that all you have control over, I suppose, is this moment? You don't know what's going to happen mm-hmm. tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen mm-hmm. a month from now. And yes, there are mm-hmm. certain things we need to worry about. If you yeah. are without a job, for example, because sure. These 2 weeks has affected your sector in the most negative way, so therefore you're not earning money and rent is due, new school sure. uniform and school fees is due. Yes, those things you'll need sure. to start thinking about because you need to come up with solutions for it. But yeah. ultimately, all you have control over is this moment. It's 4:51 mm-hmm. on the 31st of December. This is the only moment that Africa Melane, for the moment, has control over.
True. You know, and this is the only moment that exists. And everything else is anticipatory, is imaginary. So if I then think, oh, tomorrow, what if, you know, I then am robbing myself of being present in this moment by fighting with a future that I have no control over. And these are just so subtle and so difficult. And it's so much more difficult when you know, you have to do this amidst those realities that you've just painted, that, you know, you've lost your job, you've lost your income, rent is due, fees, school fees, and so on. It is so much harder and yet so much more urgent that we do ground ourselves. Because if not, then you really are just going to be, you know, gone with the wind, as it were. And so it is so much more important to gain that footing in some way or other. And it is about sitting down, maybe, you know, just ground yourself, literally sit down, write down what it is that you have control over. And I always find, you know, the serenity prayer so much powerful in about accepting the things I cannot change. Accept that. And what is it that I can change? And the courage to then do what I can. Because that's all you can do, what you can.
What responsibility, if any, then, do the network around Africa Milane have in checking in using technology to make sure that Kosi is okay? How did you sleep? Are you feeling stronger today? And I absolutely appreciate that this access to data and technology is a privilege of a few in South Africa. But there are means and ways and tools and technology that will allow us to connect. In fact, it was the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, who in a Christmas message said that while this time has physically required us to stay apart, she feels that we've never been more connected because of technology and other means of people connecting.
Sure, absolutely. So it's quite, again, it's an interesting paradox in that, you know, we've always talked about how technology and social media and so on disconnects people. And yet in this time, we find that it is actually the one thing that we have that allows us to connect with each other. So in saying, what is it that I can do? So it's about also saying, so life is not a solo performance, right? So who are my socially important people that I need to stay in touch with? Physically distant, but I can still remain socially connected. Who are those people? Call on them. Ask for the support that you need. And it may be, and you may be recognize that everybody else is also going through their own challenges. So if you are going to need somebody's support, be specific about the support that you need. So, for example, it is about saying, can we check in with each other every 30 minutes or sort of thing, and negotiate that with the person? What is possible for them? Because they also have their lives and their own challenges and so on. Maybe 30 minutes is not doable, but let's do every hour. And let's agree what that is going to look like. Okay, are we going to WhatsApp call each other? And if you don't have airtime, what support can you get? Maybe it may be somebody else that you need to ask for airtime and data so that you are able to talk to somebody else, sort of thing. So use what we have as social resources to support yourself.
This is going to sound bizarre, but one thing that I also find helps is to stay away from social media. So when I am at home and on my own, I'm, as I said earlier, either reading a book or watching something, because social media can be very toxic. And we often forget that the views and thoughts and I suppose opinion shared on social media is really that of a small fraction, right? And often those people have to hold an extreme view on something in order for them to stand out. So therefore, it just sounds a lot more aggressive than what I'm hoping the general population of South Africa reflects on. That's a one challenge. The other challenge is that somebody is having a grand life that they're absolutely able to showcase. And I'm going to go, I do wish I was in Paris right now, but I can't be. So therefore, staying away from social media, I found, at least anyway, has really been helpful at this time.
Sure. And each person has got to work out for themselves what works for you. So again, it is that singularity of life within a common experience of humanity. So it is about saying, so what will work for me? Because what works for you may not work for me, right? And so we need to be shepherds and not sheep in our own lives. So it is about saying, okay, recognize that social media has this particular effect on you. So don't go there. So what will have a different desired effect on you? If it's watching TV, because maybe there's a storyline and you know that it's a storyline and it's a movie and so on, and that helps you to self-soothe and to self-contain, then go there. But for someone else, it may be, let me just see what other people are doing. And it just allows them to just, you know, in a way, travel into other people's lives. And if that's what helps you to contain yourself, then do that. So everybody has got to find their own unique ways in which they're going to self-soothe and contain themselves.
Out of interest, have you found that the demand for your service, and I suppose those in your sector, have increased multifold since the start of the lockdown?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So you know, in every, as you say, never waste a good crisis. So these moments are opportunities in many ways, if we see those, if we recognize those opportunities for what they are. So what the one thing that we have complained over, most of us generally, is how we've just been on the treadmill of life and running. We've been complaining about traffic. Oh, my goodness, traffic. You know, and what life has given us is the time to just lay those burdens down, right? It has forced us, in a sense, to just be still and not be traffic, you know, up and down. So what that has done for a lot of people is that it has afforded them the time to look within as opposed to without, and everything else that's going on around us that has taken our attention away from ourselves. It has given people the opportunity, and that sometimes in a very painful way, to look within and say, what actually is going on in my life? Because in many ways, we've been absent landlords, concerned with everything outside and emptiness within. And people have taken the time to say, what's working? To do some stock-taking of their own lives. What's working? What's not working? What do I want to change? Where am I going? Is this working for me? And I have a client who said, I am so grateful for this time, because what it did is that it gave me time out that I could not have afforded to ask for because of just the pace of things and pressure and expectations. And what it did is that it licensed me to take the time that I needed but would not have had. And it's the best thing that has happened to them. And the conversation is about, how do I want to reinvent myself? So I have this crisis moment and there's an implosion of sorts. How do I want to then reinvent? How do I reimagine myself? What do I want to take forward with me? What do I want to change? What do I want to let go of that doesn't serve me anymore?
Well, Kosi,
this is that opportunity.
Indeed. I wish you a safe and healthy 2021. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
I thank you, and all the best to you.